Okay, this is Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations."
Thank you, Jesus.
"Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Thank you, Jesus.
Well,
you know what I believe? I believe there will be a mighty catch.
Wow.
Because the reason you extended this net back into the water was from a word. Not from skill or even desire.
Whoa.
So I just bless it.
Wow, I hear you. Yeah. Because the word does the work.
The word does the work.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I kept seeing it, and then I said, I just felt it was strong enough to ask you about just launching back out in the deep.
In the deep.
Letting your net down.
On the other side.
For a mighty and huge catch.
For a huge catch.
Of souls.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Thank you. Well, I say yes to that. And whoever hears this, welcome back to the new and improved, because it's about Jesus.
New and approved.
Approved. Hey!
I'm teasing. No, not that the other wasn't.
I agree with that. New and approved by God. Hallelujah, Amen podcast. I figured today I could just kind of welcome you back and just explain kind of where I've been and what the Lord's been doing and how he has redirected me to do this in a totally new light and a new, just, I literally have new eyes and ears to see like what it is. And it is all by his grace. And like Cheyenne sent me a text a few weeks ago and asked, "Hey, whatever happened to the podcast?" And I thought she was talking about our church's podcast, which we'll also be continuing, which I'm so excited about. But she was talking about the Hallelujah Amen one, and I guess it's been since April that I looked back at the last episode, and we're in November, which is crazy.
That's crazy.
And yeah, I want to introduce who these people are, because if you're watching, you're seeing them. If you're listening, you're just going to hear their voices, but I want you to get familiar with their voices so you know who's who, because I just love, like, when you're listening, knowing who's who. So on my left, on your right, I know, crazy. That's from my cheerleading days. On my left and on your right, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, because I would like to teach them the dance, you know. Anyways, this is Madison Goldbach Bush, a.k.a. Maddie. And she and I met at the Skipper's house, who also go to our church. We go to church together. All of us go to church together. We're in our church. We're sitting in our sanctuary. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank and you, Cheyenne Lord. And Kevin, our pastors, for allowing us to do this in the sanctuary, which also feels right.
Which is also part of what I was seeing. I'd seen it for a few weeks before I mentioned it to you.
Wow.
And I kept seeing it here, but I didn't want to suggest it because I don't like to in any way. I believe if it's really from God, he's going to,
Wow.
But I kept seeing it in here, and I didn't know if that meant like, hey, would you just run the eyes on Jesus? I didn't know what it meant. But that day, we should go back one day and look at what was the live before I sent you that text. Because it was as you and I were sitting talking, I knew that I was supposed to tell you to do it. I encourage you.
Wow. Well, thank you for sending it.
Praise
God. And the Lord is doing it. Clearly, this
he
was
certainly
his will. And so Maddie and I met at church, and then we're going to have a lot of us that go to church together kind of popcorning in and out throughout this, because this is no longer about me. Shocker. Hallelujah. Amen. I was waiting for it, Cheyenne, but you were drinking. And you, Maddie. There was an Instagram Live. I don't know if you remember where.
Yes.
I was like, hallelujah. And you go, amen. And then I got it. It took me like 10 seconds to understand.
It's hard not to.
Yeah, this is just going to be like the new format. It's going to be conversations and testimonies, but really we're just going to answer questions. And before I get to that, I want to introduce Cheyenne. You've probably heard me talk about her quite a bit. When I tell Siri to call you, she says, I say, call Cheyenne Eakin. And she goes, call She and Voltage Eakin.
Voltage!
Because there's a lightning in your name, because I put it because you preach fire and light, you know, the light. And she goes, calling She and Voltage Eakin.
I love that.
So
amazing. This
is Cheyenne / She and, no, I'm just kidding. It's Cheyenne.
She and Voltage Eakins.
And She and Voltage Eakins.
I cannot.
What'd she say?
Eakins.
Eakins. Yes. Ragsdale Eakins. And yeah, Shy is my pastor, my spiritual mama. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna cry.
Sister.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Cheyenne is one of the main reasons that I know Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, like your life.
A vessel he used
mm-hmm. to open my eyes and open my ears to the true gospel.
To him.
Mm. Yeah. To actually having a relationship with him and not just being in a religion of Christianity.
Jesus.
You know? Like, how would I have known? I say that a lot to her. I know a lot of us do. How would we have known? And the Lord is good and sovereign and perfect. And I'm sure, you know, he has a plan. Yeah, he could have used someone else, but he used you.
And by the way, that never gets old. That's always encouraging to me.
Wow.
It encourages me to keep going.
Yeah, please do.
And to keep speaking.
Please.
And not just sit home with my Bible in bliss.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious. Like, I love to do that. But it always encourages me.
Wow.
The way y'all have received the truth of Jesus Christ is so encouraging to me. And it encourages me that many, many more will.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Including through this podcast.
Many.
Their eyes will open.
Woo.
Their ears will open. The blind will see. Woo. And the deaf will hear. And really and truly, the dead will be raised.
Amen.
The spiritually sleeping. The spiritually. And I believe that physically, with miracles of physical healing as well, but far more important
spiritually,
this is what Jesus addressed in Revelations to his church, and he was not speaking physically, he was speaking spiritually, that they needed ears to hear.
Wow.
So it's not a cop out,
right?
And you know, it's not a cop out to say we need to see the deaf hear and say it's spiritual. That's what Jesus came opening the natural, but it was only to show the great need of the spiritual realm, to have eyes to see, ears to hear, for the spiritually dead to rise to life. Because if you don't have his life in you, you're dead. You may have a job, you may have children, but you're dead in your sins. We were all dead in our sins.
That's right.
And if we don't have Christ in us, we have no life.
No life.
But he came that we may have life.
Right.
And he is that life.
And he is life.
He is life.
He is life. I came that you may have life. What he means is, I came to give you me.
I came to give you
because you're dead.
Yes.
Come to me, I'll give you life.
Yes.
Rest is life. Rest is salvation.
Is life.
See? Capital L, life. Life. As I'm sitting here, I'm thinking about how, and we can talk about this in another episode, but how the Lord told you in 99, I think, that you would see the dead raised, the blind see, and deaf ears hear, leprosy, all of it. The whole, what I just flipped to. Which, this is go out and make disciples, baptizing them. But the other great commission is to heal the sick, raise all that, right?
Right.
And I'm just thinking, like, I was dead.
Mm.
You were dead.
Mm.
Like, he showed you, like, in our, we're just two.
Very dead.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I thought I was alive. I thought I was living it up.
Yeah, girl.
I was dead.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the scripture. I didn't know any scripture really, except the ones that inspired me for an Instagram post, which is really scary. But the when I found out that the wages of sin is death, literally, because I was living in sin, I was dead. And I didn't know life. I didn't know him yet. So that's what I want you to know is him.
Amen.
We want you to know him.
Yes.
And as you listen to this and you maybe, quote unquote, get to know us a little bit, I hope you get to know him through whatever he says in these further future episodes. That you actually, like when the episode ends, open your Bible and get to know him.
Yes.
That it's not, you're not waiting on the next episode. You're not waiting on anything except the Lord. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But like, you're seeking him and you're finding him. And that's my goal personally, is for you to hunger and thirst for him. Just like I am. I'm hungry and thirsty for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to stay hungry.
Every day.
Every day.
We need to eat of him and drink of him. Every day.
Every day. So, with that being said, should we pick a question and go for it?
Go for
it. Cool. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I'm excited. Maddie? You have a baby in your belly, so you get to pick the question.
Wow.
What's her name, by the way?
Secret.
Just kidding. You don't have to tell me.
Oh, how did you end up at Eyes on Jesus? That is not the question I was expecting.
This is the Lord.
That's perfect.
This is the Lord.
That's perfect.
That's amazing. Well,
wow.
Go for it.
Wow. I mean, it's a long story and it's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
This is
awesome. The short answer is it was his will.
Yes.
But I met Cheyenne and Kevin years ago, and she was a worship leader, and I just like loved her and her family immediately. I was like, you have the cutest boys. I love your sons. They were like little babies at that time, and just like loved her. Didn't really know her super personally. And then the Lord encountered her, and I started watching her life just like, it's not that like, before the encounter, I didn't think anything of it. Like, I can't wait for her to have an encounter or anything like that. But I watched what I thought was like a really beautiful life become this like, what is happening in that woman's life? Like, people are being healed. People are having demons cast out. I thought there were only demons in Africa and in the Bible. Like, that was my grid of spiritual warfare. Just a lot. And it was like, as like the Lord was moving powerfully through her life, there was also a lot of controversy and a lot of mixed opinions. A lot of people were offended about it. There's just a lot going on. And I wasn't that close to like even know how I felt or even be able to form an opinion about it. I just saw that this was happening and like in my heart was super drawn to it. But had no grid. I was also living, I thought I was an amazing Christian who like loved Jesus and was a great spiritual leader and had been like a youth leader many times. But was totally asleep in my faith, living in sin, in a bad relationship. And had no idea. Didn't like, I read the Bible, but much of my life didn't line up with it. And that didn't seem like an issue to me. It was just like, well, I mean, it lines up more than everyone around me, you know? And that was my grid for following Jesus. And one night I was asleep in my bedroom. Cheyenne didn't know where I lived because, like I said, we weren't that close. And at midnight, she bursts into my bedroom and starts shaking me in my bed. And she starts saying, "Wake up, wake up." And I'm like, what's happening? How does she know where I live? Why is this woman in my room? Like, what's going on? Just being shaken out of sleep. And she's wearing a long white gown and she's holding a lantern. And at that moment, I realized this is probably a dream, because at that point, it was so vivid, I thought it was actually happening. But I thought, this must be a dream because the lantern that she was holding was a flame that was going through my ceiling, but my house wasn't catching on fire. So that was the only way that I knew that this wasn't happening in real life. Other than that, it was so vivid. And at this point, the Lord didn't really speak to me in dreams either. But so she's holding this lantern with this huge flame, and she looks at me and she says, "You need to know what makes the presence of the Lord come and what makes it go." And at that moment, the dream ends and I wake up and I'm alone in my room, in my bed. And the atmosphere, all I can, my only thought is, God is here, because I'm in my bed, but I'm unable to move, like completely pressed down by this heavy weight that's also beautiful. Now, after reading the Bible and talking about it, I'm like, this is the weight of his glory. The Bible talks about the weighty glory of God in the air. It was like this, it was almost like it was liquid gold, as crazy as that sounds. Like in real life, God had filled my room and I knew that he was there. And I also knew that it wasn't like a personal, like, "Hi, God." It was like, God is here. Whoa. Like I knew that I didn't know him like deeply, and there was just so much like holiness around it,
like fear of the Lord.
Yeah. And it was probably one of my first encounters with fear of the Lord.
Wow.
Because
it was the Kaban.
It was the Kaban.
I get it now.
Wow. So I have that encounter and I'm just kind of stunned by it, and coming from it, I walk away from that dream thinking, whatever is going on in her life, I've heard conversations about how it's not God and she's just making people feel like they don't know God and judgmental and over spiritual, over the top, unnecessary. Like there's all these words being spoken about it, and I never felt like it was right, but I was like, who am I? What do I know? After this encounter, I felt like the Lord was telling me, whatever is happening, the God of the universe is behind it. And he was telling me to come in close, tuck in, and learn. So
I feel like I'm in heaven. I literally feel like I'm in heaven. I'm not even joking. Please keep going.
Do you want to share your side?
No, keep talking. I mean, if you want me to.
I'll just
how did you
to
come to Isaac. We'll get there. We'll get
to that.
You have the questions.
So just to wrap
she
up.
She means of the vision. The other side of the vision.
Yeah.
Yeah, the night that she had that dream, it was at 12 o'clock, right?
Midnight.
It was midnight. A few hours before that, the Lord had encountered me, but I had not told anyone yet. And in the encounter, the Lord came and the heavy weight of God's glory came on me. I, too, was like almost pinned to the chair, but not in a bad way.
Like in the most wonderful
way. The most wonderful
way. Paralyzed.
Yes. Wow. And felt like I couldn't even move my arms. It's like it's kind of like when you have anesthesia before surgery. And my mom, when she's encountered it, after years of hearing about it, she said, "I feel what you're always talking about." She's like, "It's like that blanket they put on you at the dentist."
Yes.
Yes.
To keep you safe from the radiation.
Yes.
Safe from radiation.
Whoa. Whoa. And she said it's like an embrace. It's like a hug from God. Anyway, in this vision, the Holy Spirit came and got right in my face. And he said, "Why have you turned your flame so low?" And I was learning about fear of the Lord. And so I had enough fear of the Lord in me to be honest, to repent first, to say, whatever you're saying is the truth.
Right.
It isn't fuel.
Even though
I don't understand it. I don't see it. I wouldn't even agree with a human if they said it, but you're right. And I know your presence. So this is you. So I said, forgive me, Lord. Then I wanted to be honest. I said, I thought my flame was high. And he said, the fire I've put in you is hot. But because of the repercussions around you, you have chosen to turn the flame level down. Yes. Like on an old-fashioned lantern or like a gas stove, you can control the flame level. He said, I put the fire in you, but you control the flame level. And I didn't even think I knew till right now that you were hearing those conversations. I don't think we've ever talked about it. But those conversations were why
you turned it down.
I had turned it down because people I loved were turning on me. And you have to decide when you wake up who you love the most. And Jesus says that if our love for others does not look like hate, our love for our spouse, our children, our parents, everyone, if it does not look like we hate them compared to how we love him, we are not worthy of following him. So he was showing me, you have chosen them over me. And then he said, turn your flame up. Okay. Basically, even if it means losing them, which it did for at least a season. Wow. Because my love for God not only looked like hate for others, it felt like hate to them. Wow. But now I'd seen him. Now I knew him before I feared them. Oh. Now I feared him. Woo. I wanted their approval and I wanted his approval, right?
Yeah.
His love. So when I got in the car, I began weeping and praying for the church. And I was just shouting out over the city, church, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. That's what I was shouting. And I was saying, God is real and he is here. And you need to know what makes his presence come and what makes him go. This is what I was, I guess, prophetically interceding over people. And it was happening. It the word that God gave me, I released it. And it went boom to your house.
It came in
and said, wake up. Because rest assured, that was not me in the dream.
No.
He used my face, but he was saying, Maddie, wake up, wake up, wake up. It was because, see, there's no way I can make that happen. You didn't know you were a sleeping Christian.
I had no idea.
You were asleep. And so I want you to understand the Holy Spirit was praying through me. And the Holy Spirit was using my face in the dream to give you someone that you knew to come to and learn
the truth
of him.
Of him.
Of him. But it was all about him. It's all about him. This podcast is about him.
Amen.
So what he was showing me, it was the 10 virgins as I was praying. And he was showing me that 5 foolish, 5 wise, all the church, all of them had lamp, all had oil enough to have a fire at one point, all had a fire.
This right now is answering a prayer I had.
I believe it.
I'm serious.
I believe it.
I asked him yesterday, at some point, Lord, can you have Cheyenne teach on the 5 virgins? I mean, the 10 virgins.
At some point,
I asked him. I really did. This was very real. I'm not joking. And honest to him. I was like, can you have Maddie and Cheyenne share? Like, their dreams. I'm remembering the prayer now.
And literally it was the first question out of the box.
And I felt to have her.
Well, it's important because you need to understand that go and read the parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25, right?
Matthew 25.
And they all at one point had a lamp, oil, and fire. But then, because of choices, the 5 foolish were only left with a lamp because they did not bring enough oil to maintain the flame of love for the bridegroom. So that's what we're over here doing. Maintaining the flame of love with the oil of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. and the Word of God. I mean, that's how many years ago?
It's 2015.
So probably, 7 years ago. So literally that one dream is basically, from what I can see in your life, what has stabilized you enough to keep you.
Yeah.
In all the
chaos.
Yes.
And it's amazing because, like, even when I share that testimony and, like, share it with people, and some people are like, what? Yeah. Like, that's crazy. And I think a lot of people have this picture of, like, you have this amazing dream and then your life has been, like, all right, straight to Jesus ever since. Because how,
you floaty, know, buzzy, weighted blankets.
Easy. And the reality is, like, that was just the beginning of the Lord waking me up, because it was like, okay, I'm awake now. But there's so much pride, so much fear, so much insecurity, so much selfish ambition, so much false teaching that completely warred against the Word of God, but I'd learned in church. And it was like, God is so patient. And I'm sure there's still so much that he's like smiling and slowly helping patiently helping me unlearn. And
yes, pruning.
Prune so much. And it's so beautiful because I look back and like that. So I began following him, but with all of the other voices and my own flesh that I still hadn't died to, my own pride and and all the false teaching, I continued following him, but not knowing. I was still a lot of it following other voices of like, following Jesus means like being really successful for him to win the world to him. And like that, I think that one, that little lie of like, be amazing for God, you're so called, you're so talented, that one false teaching took like 4 years to like come out to the point that it stopped directing my life. I think praise God by his mercy that no longer guides my life, but it still affects me sometimes and I have to, he corrects it.
Which, can we just say really quickly, that would explain at least one scenario of James 1 or 2, where he talks about being unstable in all that you do, because your loyalty is divided between Christ and the world. And like what you just said, so much of your belief system warred against the word, but you had been taught by the church. But see, much of the church has been taught by the world.
Yeah.
And so people think they're all in, maybe, and don't realize they've been taught by the world. Yeah. So their loyalty is divided, do you see?
It's so true.
Between the truth of God and the world, which makes them unstable, which is what you really battled with.
I really was for a very long time.
Wow.
And what, after that encounter and like the Lord started discipling me, I came in close and I love when you recount the conversations because you could hear me like verbally processing like, I want to be on fire for Jesus, but I also want like this little, my life basically. And,
yes.
And just, you got to really witness the Lord really saving me.
Because really and truly, I mean, let's not forget Nicaragua was after that.
What?
Yes.
Oh, wait, you don't even know this?
Yes.
So why I'm saying that is because, like, so this is happening.
Everyone's going to think, what's she on?
I was not a Nicaraguan survivor. Baylor and I both
we
just
both
happened
have a
to
common, get this. A common country.
Ooh, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
So that I'm, like, all in. I'm oh, hello.
I can hold it if it's fun.
Okay.
Now you can sit back.
Yeah. Nice.
So I'm, like, all in. I'm going to follow Jesus. And, like, that still to me meant I'm going to do this great work for Jesus and be this great thing for Jesus. And
so
all the open doors were leading me back to Los Angeles for the music industry. And so I thought,
obviously, this is for Jesus. So he brings me to safety.
Wait, so an open door is not always from God? We'll do that on the next episode.
This should be an episode of its own, but no.
I'm telling you, blessing. What you're addressing right now, many people who are going to listen to this, this will be news to them.
It was news to me. Thank you, Lord. So he brings me to safe covering, safe pastors, shepherds after his own heart, like the word talks about. And then I, with so much false teaching, plus my flesh liked the false teaching. So I followed.
Helped you keep your life.
Yeah, I didn't have to die.
Preserve your life. Promote your life.
For him. So it leads me back to LA. And I mean, just through a crazy series of the enemy's traps, I end up totally spiraling. And between being in the music industry, the influences, the crowd that you are around matters.
Amen.
The voices and the opinions that you're listening to matter. I was still very much, at least in the beginning, very much in touch with you and like with Cheyenne, and my heart was still like longing for the Lord, but it was now being clouded out by distance and by the amount of opinions around me of, well, living for the Lord doesn't have to look like that. End up just in a job, like everything about my life environments became very dangerous to the point that I ended up in a bar for my job, not drinking, thinking I'm there to reach souls for Jesus. But it was a bar known for witchcraft that I didn't know about, and I certainly had no grid for.
I didn't know it was known for witchcraft. Oh, where the guy.
Yeah. And a guy comes over to me, and if I had more discernment, I would have run. But instead, I thought, maybe I can win him to Jesus. And he
has
clearly no interest in hearing about the Lord. This was not a sheep. This was a wolf. And he looked at me and said, I want to give you a gift. And I didn't actually think that the enemy had power. So I thought, and I wasn't living in obedience to the word of God. So I certainly wasn't submitted to God, which is what it takes for the devil to flee. So I was just wide open for attack. He takes my hand and he squeezes it to the point that I'm like, goes beyond all social norms. This guy is so weird. But I didn't take my hand away, probably because I didn't want to make him feel bad. Yeah. Fear of man, whatever. Yes. So he takes it, and for like...
And he had a firm grip.
A firm grip for like at least a minute, like way beyond what is normal.
It's laying on of hands.
And just silence, full focus, gave me something. And I'm standing there like...
That's actual...
This is so weird.
Because that's not just in a service where people imparting faith or laying their hands on for healing. That's laying on of hands works in both ways. The evil world too. Yes.
That's right.
And I certainly did not believe that. So I'm just like, this is weird. Well, within a month, I was doubting faith completely. Felt no connection to God. Was extremely confused about what I believed. Was suddenly being aggressively pursued by a man significantly older than me who told me he would actively do Jedi mind tricks on me and would show up places where I was. There was this sudden magnetic pull towards him, like romantically, that it was crazy the amount of deception that I came under like that, and ended up in a weird kind of relationship with him. And I kind of forget how I got. I get to Nicaragua because I find out about this yoga surfer retreat artist village that they only allow you to come if you have an Instagram following and you're cool. Essentially, you have to be accepted to be allowed to come there.
I'm sorry.
I was like accepted to be.
We weren't there at the same time though. Right?
It was.
I've tried to ask this.
It was.
Few times.
It was within a few years, but
which
it was not
still
the same
crazy.
Time.
Yeah, just. Crazy. The same city.
Yeah.
San Juan del Sur,
in
right?
In Nicaragua. Yeah.
Managua.
Just outside of San Juan. And, I was brought in to be the resident musician. Whoa. They would just do yoga and smoke weed and drink and I went thinking I'm more confused than ever. So I'm going to do what all the white girls on Instagram do and just go find answers in a foreign country.
Really?
Yes. I mean, I didn't say it like that because I would have thought I sounded lame, but that's totally what I was doing.
Wow.
So I end up in the jungle, literally the jungles of Nicaragua, and just dead inside. And this is after I've encountered the glory of God waking me up in a radical way. So this is why I'm like, it's just such a miracle and mercy that he saves us. And I'm in this jungle overlooking like the jungle of Nicaragua. Something in me, obviously Jesus, led me to reach out to Cheyenne. And probably at that point, I do remember some of my mindset was like, at that point, I thought she was like really maybe like over spiritual. And I was like, maybe like I think she sees things as like, like you saw black and white, and I thought that was extreme, basically.
And but like what you said, people had told you it's not necessary.
Yeah.
So the church had told you, much of the church had told you that what I was doing, the life of godliness, was unnecessary, right?
Yeah.
Just totally. To kind of confirm what you were saying.
Totally.
I wonder if she was confused.
So right. Confused.
That's what I'm trying to say. Right. Yes.
You were
that.
Like you were hearing the church like, tell okay, you.
Okay, so that's too much and it's not necessary.
But one human being,
but she's the only person I've ever met that I believe she really believes what she believes, and she is steady in it, and there's like a peace, like there was just something that like in my spirit I knew that mm-hmm. it was right, even though everyone was telling me the opposite. And so I kind of reached out to you in the little cry for help. And I think it was disguised as like a text that said, hi. Like, I don't think I was like,
hi meant help.
But you saw through it and the Lord showed you through it.
I had already been interceding for you.
Oh.
Mm. Whoa.
I don't remember the exact timeline of everything, but I'm pretty sure it was before the text.
The vision.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah, I was by my refrigerator and suddenly went into an open vision and I saw Maddie in a jungle. I had no clue where she was.
That I was literally in a jungle.
Yeah.
Literally. And spiritually.
Yeah. In the spirit, I saw her in a spiritual jungle. So again, I didn't know that physically she was too. And she was running and she had just realized that she was being pursued by a beast. And in my dream, she was looking and she was starting to realize the danger she was in. And I began weeping and saying, God, that's not the real Maddie. I don't know where she is, but that's not the real Maddie. Lord, that's not who you've called her to be. Lord, would you rescue the real Maddie?
Whoa!
Would you rescue the real Maddie, Lord? I don't know what she's doing, but that's not the real Maddie. And I just cried and cried and prayed and asked him to rescue you.
And within a couple of weeks, I was living in your living room.
In your living room?
In your basement. Oh.
Wow.
And I didn't plan that either. Mm-hmm. But the way he chose to rescue you was to bring you into our home and our covering.
He totally orchestrated the whole thing. And I think one of my favorite things about the way he rescued me is I was actually telling him this morning, I was like, just thanking him because I was like, I have a beautiful marriage and it's not because I did anything. Like, I have a beautiful husband, a beautiful marriage, and I did not. I can, like, tangibly tell you all the ways I didn't deserve it. Jesus. I live in a beautiful home in Bellevue. I did not even not deserve it, but I never would have picked it. Like, everything about my life, if I had been the one to choose it, I would not have chosen it. I say this, that specifically, because the night before I got on the plane to come to Nashville, which led to me moving back to Nashville.
Before it was Eyes on Jesus.
Before right. it was Eyes on right. Yeah, it wasn't even church. Yeah, I mean, it was, but we yeah. didn't know it yet.
We didn't know.
That's right.
I was laying in my in a bed in my parents' house, just feeling so dead inside, and got the invitation to like come visit from a friend, Louisa, who the last time I'd talked to her, we'd been drinking mimosas and whiskey and talking about, well, maybe like Christianity isn't the only way. And the next thing I know, she's moved back to Nashville and is texting me saying, Maddie, we were wrong. I just need you to come out here and talk. Like, I can't text it. So I'm laying in bed. It's like 9 o'clock at night. I feel dead inside. And I do not want to go back to Nashville. For whatever reason, I just, the enemy, my flesh, whatever, I thought, I don't like it there. I don't want to live there. I'm not a Southern person. Like, every ounce of whatever, I stuck my nose up at it, would have never picked it. Pure pride and whatever. And I'm laying there and I'm like, I do not want to go back there. And then I just have this thought of like, well, what else am I going to do? Just lay here and die?
I remember you telling me that part.
And I picked up my phone and I booked a flight and I walked downstairs and I said, Mom, can you drive me to the airport? My flight leaves in an hour. Didn't tell anyone I was coming. But Louisa had a dream that night that I had gotten on the red eye. And woke up from the dream sad that it was a dream. And then looked at her phone and I texted her and said, hey, I just landed. Can you guys come pick me up? And praise God, within 20, like whatever, you and the boys and Louisa.
Mm-hmm.
Sweetest caravan ever. They come and pick me up from the airport, drive best straight to ever. A coffee shop that now belongs to us that we're sitting in.
What? We drove straight here.
Straight here.
But we didn't own it.
We didn't own this yet, yes. though.
To get muffins and lattes.
Get muffins and lattes. Our church is connected to our coffee shop now, yeah. which is called Boots and Good Company, but it used to be called Capital.
Capital.
Yes.
And you're saying y'all drove from the
straight
airport
to
straight
Capital.
Here. And it has had the first of, I mean,
and
at this point, maybe millions of conversations.
And here we are. Here we are.
Lie by lie. Deliverance.
I'm just thinking right now, and can we pray?
Yes.
Because I'm just saying right now how the church, much of the church, tried to talk you out of what God was doing in my life, because what was happening in my life was holiness. And trying to talk you out of it because of jealousy, insecurity, whatever. Literally, it started you toward losing your faith. Like, I don't think I, maybe I've heard it before, but I don't think I was really seeing that trail of like, oh, that's not necessary with two girls who have been influenced and hungry, right? To then talking about maybe Jesus isn't the only way. That would be walking away from faith. That would not be walking away from a church,
a denomination,
a style.
No, it was the faith.
That would be losing your faith, which is more than likely behind so much of the apostasy that I believe we're
that's
witnessing,
happening.
The falling away.
Jesus.
Absolutely.
So that is dangerous. I mean, I just want to pray,
yes.
because many people,
whoa.
Just here at this church, some people, if they find out people have been coming, they'll call them and try to talk them out of it.
Yeah.
God have mercy.
God have mercy.
Because that's not talking someone out of a church. It could be on your hands if they walk away from the faith.
Lord.
That's what I'm hearing, right?
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Lord, would you just have mercy?
Whoa.
And I pray in Jesus' name, divine intervention for anyone who has been hungry for you,
name.
Hungry to know you, hungry to walk in your word, hungry to walk in the light, hungry to walk in the spirit, and has been discouraged, by people who go to a church but who don't know you. God, would you divinely, supernaturally intervene. Lord, because I know the loneliness of not being embraced by the church. I understand the loneliness. I understand the pain. And I can now see the confusion. So I pray in Jesus' name, anyone that has been hungry for you and have been talked out of it by someone who is no longer hungry for you, Lord, would you intervene? And I pray a mighty, massive wake-up call go out through this podcast.
Wake up!
A mighty, a massive wake-up call. Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up to the truth, which is Jesus Christ, who offers you all of him. Jesus Christ, who offers life to you. Jesus Christ, who wants to give you rest. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. He wants to give you power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, if you have ever at any point been hungry for God and somehow got tricked into complacency, and you see right now that you're in a dangerous path and maybe you didn't know it before, don't be deceived. Come back to the truth. Come back to Jesus Christ, who wants you. Jesus.
Jesus, who wants you.
The way that I would describe, like, you're like one of the main things that you've helped me with, and like one of the biggest, most impactful parts of you being in my life, is that your life gave me permission to believe the Bible and take it seriously and love Jesus and find him. I mean, so many things, but it was like your life gave me permission. Mm. And at that point, I wasn't seeing that permission.
I agree with that.
And so, like,
100%.
It was one of the most powerful things. And I pray that this podcast is that permission for you. Because I had encountered the Holy Spirit at 16. I was hungry for him for a very long time. And I would read things that are enough. The Bible's enough to give me permission. But I failed to take that permission. And by his mercy, he gave me an even more tangible visible
human.
Like, oh, she lives actually all of this, and not you, Holy Spirit in you, you know, but like, it was just,
but she said yes,
things
said
that yes. Yeah, and things that my heart always wanted and then got talked out of. For the first time, I wasn't being talked out of it by one person. And that is what I think that was so powerful, is it really started to give me permission. And I'm even seeing, like, the way you always say, the encounter didn't change your life. Mm-hmm. It invited you into a changed life.
Like, and I choose every day.
And you have to choose again.
And I remember, and I used to preach this a lot. I would say, Jesus gave me permission to live the way I'd always wanted. And now I want to give you permission.
Yes.
Because it's like, and it took months of him dealing with me to convince me. Whoa. Because what he was telling me through his word and his spirit didn't line up with what I've been taught in the church. So I was terrified to take it because I'm a rules girl, typically by nature.
Right.
And so when I finally accept, I'm like, I can live in holiness and like love and like believe that your word is true and see miracles and my hands in the sick and preach the gospel. Like, I can do that?
And like live in peace?
Yes. I didn't know.
And know him?
I didn't know. No one had told me.
Before heaven.
I can, yes, before I meet him face to face, I can know him and experience his love. And I'm just like, because some people are like, oh, that would be so scary. You're so bold to live that life. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I finally get permission. This is all I've ever wanted. When I was signed to Disney and signed to Universal and doing this, I didn't want any of that. None of that was my dream. All I'd ever wanted was to be his girl. I didn't know I could be. I didn't know until he showed me. So that's a beautiful way of putting it. And we want to give you permission.
Yes.
Because listen, the only way you can come to Jesus is if the Father's drawing you.
That's right.
So if you have any hunger for what we're talking about at all, know that the Father himself wants you and will draw you to desire him. You'll be drawn in on to him by his desire for you. You have permission to go all in.
All in.
All in. All and in. I don't mean into a church system. This is not about Eyes on Jesus. Mm-hmm. This is not about Baylor. This is not about Maddie. This is not about me. We're not giving you permission to come be like us. We're giving you permission to know to God. Know him. And you have everything you need for a life of godliness.
Everything you need.
Yes. Yes. Because and one thing that you teach, and I'm just so thankful for the way that he's brought his word to life. I think back to that 16-year-old me that first tasted but never found fully. And it was, I remember sitting in my bedroom in high school and being like, I want you, God. Like, I want to experience you. And I would have just experienced him at youth group, but now I was in my room and I wasn't feeling him. And I wasn't finding him, and I didn't even know what it meant to seek him. Mm. And so I would sit there, and then if I didn't feel him, I was like, well, I guess if you're not coming now, then you don't want to be with me now. Mm. Maybe you just wanted to be with me at youth group. So since I'm just here, I'll go hang out with my friends and go to this party.
Right.
And I didn't, I mean.
Because they want to be with me.
Yeah. Like literally, and it felt so innocent to me. Literally, I had no idea that we can encounter him by obeying his word, reading his word, meditating on the word, obeying it, doing what, like the, you need to know what makes his presence come and what makes it go. Like what's that song? Like, instead of waiting on you to encounter me, I'm coming
up to you.
Like that was, yes, like, if I'd known that, encounter, you know, and you could, you can encounter him. You can find him. You can seek him. It's not, if you're not experiencing him, it's not by lack of desire on his part.
That's, amen, also why I wrote Truly Free.
Yes.
Because we don't have to wait on him encountering us or a conference where we can be encountered. In that, when God encountered, this is what I learned. In every encounter that God initiated, he was teaching me how to initiate encounter.
Wow.
He was teaching me how. But really and truly, it's saddening to me how many people, wow, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And studying that, it's clearly knowledge of God. It's knowing him. And right, God says, my complaint is with you, priest. You don't know me, so they don't know me. And just thinking how people are trying to win the world with the world's way, and all the hungry people, my burden, I don't have a complaint against the church. I have a compassion for the sheep who are looking for Jesus.
Wow.
And many under shepherds, they won't go in, and they won't let the people go in.
Says that.
Because if they know God, it would mess up their programs.
It would mess up their program.
It's so true.
And their sheep are being used.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To further their programs.
Just being honest.
I was one of them.
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
Yes. People come to the church desperately needing help. But the church also desperately needs help to grow.
To grow. Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, y'all need help, but we need help. Okay, come help us.
Right.
And then we'll help you.
Right.
But that never gets around to happening.
No.
Not everywhere. This is not against churches. Right. I'm just saying we've seen so many. I can't even count the people who really seem to be hungry for the Lord and just go to find him and can't.
They literally can't. There's a barricade of mm-hmm. under shepherds
mm-hmm.
not even wanting Jesus or knowing mm-hmm. him or maybe even knowing how.
Yeah. Or desperately working for him, trying to do a work for him.
Yeah.
But not in rest. And so it just creates this system of striving.
Stress.
For success. And anyway, to God be the glory.
To God be the
Thank
glory.
You, Jesus, for Thank revealing you. Yourself Jesus. To us.